helps for difficult days. And, you know, Brother Jay had prayed we're in some hard days as a country, and I believe going to get harder, you know, but the Lord's on the throne, and He's the one to help us. And so Philippians chapter 4 tonight. And read verse 4 through 8. Why don't we do that? 4 through 8, Philippians chapter 4. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful and thankful. We can never thank you enough, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your love towards us sinners. Thank you for the gift of salvation. And thank you, Lord, that we have someone we can come to in difficult days, difficult times. Lord, there are many out here that are burdened, perhaps, or they are going through a trial right now, trial of their faith, or they've heard some bad news, or their heart is just struggling even tonight. They don't have that peace, Lord, about some issue of life. Some issue of life, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray for them. And thank you for the songs we sang, the hymns, the old hymns that comfort our heart. And then, Lord, tonight, please help me to help these people and speak through hearts, to hearts, Lord, through me, your precious Holy Spirit. I pray you give me unction and utterance. May there be no indifference to thy precious holy word. For it's in thy great name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church, for standing. I think it was D.L. Moody or someone like him that said, when you preach on comfort or words of comfort, you'll always have an audience. You always have somebody that needs it. There's somebody here tonight that needs a little encouragement, a little help up. And I know I love the book of Philippians. The theme is joy, rejoicing. Many times used in one form or another, whether it's rejoice or joy or such as that. But remember this, when you think of the book of Philippians, Paul was in a dark dungeon. It wouldn't be too long before they cut his head off. But yet he's still praising the Lord. He's still saying rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Always. And again, verse 4, look at it. Again, I say rejoice. And you need God to do that, don't you? And there is one we can go to, and it's the Lord. It's not Dr. Phil. Amen. It's not even your pastor. You need someone higher up. You need someone greater than man, because the strong arm of man will fail. You know, the arm of the flesh will fail. You need someone that's there all the time that'll walk with you and talk with you when you need him the most, like we sang. And, you know, trials come to every Christian. Just because you get saved doesn't mean life is a bowl of cherries. You'll have trials. You'll have hard times. You'll have tribulation. You'll have persecution. They're persecuting Christians now in a lot of places like China. There's cameras on them. Pastors are being thrown in prison. Just like places like are filthy latrines, thrown in prison And they're telling the pastors, you need to recant. You need to deny your faith. And the pastors say, I can't do it. You know, I can't do it. Some do. Some, they take it for so long and it just wears on them and they're just under such stress. And they hear all sorts of things about their families being killed and everything. So they just say, I can't take it anymore, Lord. I deny my faith. There's others in there. One man prayed something that no one had ever heard another persecuted Christian pray. He said, Lord, just have another pastor get arrested so he can come and encourage me so I don't deny my faith. Over in Nigeria, they're murdering people even now. And our government is thinking about going in there and taking care of those situations. But they're just, you know, there's modern day persecution, modern day martyrs like Charlie Kirk dying for his faith. And I heard just a bit of the interview, and she said something. She was weeping about he died with a little frown, like a smile on his face. Did anybody hear that? A little smile on his face, like, devil, you thought you were going to stop me when you took my body, when you killed me, but it's going to be greater than it's ever been, you see. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But I believe tonight, if you're going through something, these verses will help you. God bless you fellows for coming. Thank you. And I'd like to just kind of run into it a little bit in chapter 3. Paul said, this was his heart, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Well, there really can't be a resurrection unless there's a death. Amen? And we say, oh, we want your power, Lord, that I may know you and the power of your resurrection. Are you ready to die a little bit? I'm not just talking so much physically, but we need to die to ourselves, don't we? And so Paul had such a love relationship with the Lord. He said, I'm ready to die. He said, it's more needful for you if I stay, but heaven is far better, he said. Far better. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize. Hey, that's heaven. Amen. For the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've never seen the Lord face to face, although we've already met. But one day, we'll see the Lord face to face, won't we? And I think that's what he's saying in this context right here. I'm ready to die. I'm going to keep pressing on. Even over in chapter 3, just right before you go into chapter 4, in verse 20. For our conversation, our manner of life is in where? From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And then he goes right into chapter 4, therefore. So in the context of the Lord coming back, I don't know when the Lord's coming back. The Bible says we'll know maybe the times and the seasons, but we don't know the day, church. We don't know the day, you know, the hour when he's coming back, but he is coming back. And the way it looks, studying the Bible and prophecy and end time eschatology, you read Revelation, like it seems like it's all coming together with this one world government, one world currency, and all of this. And it may be in our lifetime. It may be tonight. I believe the rapture, the Lord's coming, is imminent. It could happen at any moment. So if you're not saved, get saved. Get saved today. Get saved tonight before it's too late. So he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, verse 1, and long for, my joy, my crown. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then in chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. The focus of our joy in these difficult days must be in the Lord and none other. Because He'll never disappoint. He'll never let you down. So we need to remember that. The focus is on Him. You draw strength and comfort and encouragement from Him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we think on the Lord, when we think on the Lord, I hope you're thinking on Him, we should have delightful thoughts. Put your ribbon or your bulletin or your finger here in chapter 4. We'll come right back. Delightful thoughts, joyful thoughts in Psalm 37. Please, Psalm 37. I'm telling you, He's the best thing you can think on in these days. He's the best thing. In Psalm 37, I love this chapter. I'm trying to help you with some helps for difficult days. You'll have good days and bad days, right? I've had some good days. I got my daughter to smile on that one. She knows how I sing that song. She don't like that song. And then it goes on to say, I've had some bad days. By the way, I had to apologize to several of the church members painting yesterday. I apologized to Maria and Miss Kathy and Bob and my wife because I read in the Bible and it says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, right? Well, I've told you folks how much I've hated to paint because I got the worst whipping in all my life with a yardstick that thick and that thick and that wide in front of my family because I wanted to paint the barn in Kentucky. And I got into some aqua paint, aqua blue paint. I still love that color, though. With Rodney, my little evil boy, compadre or whatever. And so we went behind the barn and painted. And I think what really made my dad really angry is because I saw my grandmother coming across the farm there, and she saw me. She probably saw guilt written all over my face, you know. And I had paint on my britches, and she said, oh, Greg, what have you done? Shame on you. And she started washing my britches, trying to cover the evidence, you know, cover the sin, like they tried to cover their sin with fig leaves in the Garden of Eden. And she even went to the point of rolling up the bottoms of my cuffs to cover it. Well, when I went in the kitchen, it was time to eat. And my dad immediately, he had already, I don't know how it got to him, but he knew I was guilty. And he took care of business right there with that yardstick. And that was the hardest whipping I ever got in my life. And I've hated to paint ever since. But you know what? Even though I hate to paint, I don't need to murmur about it. I just need to say, y'all paint. Okay. I'll do something else. But you know what? I'm thankful to say right now that painting's done over there. Praise God. Except for a little bathroom. I think it's going to be taken care of. So we don't need to murmur and be... into that, but Psalm 37, we need to trust in the Lord, verse 3, and do what? So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight, that's where I wanted to go. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you believe that? We need to be focused on the Lord and delighting ourselves in the Lord. In other words, having delightful thoughts about Him, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What's that word mean? You just give it over to Him. Give it to His hands. You commit it. You turn it over to Him. The problem is we commit it and take it back, don't we? But we need to give it to Him. Cast your cares on the Lord, for He cares for you. Commit whatever you're dealing with tonight, just give it to Him. And that's what Philippians is going to talk about here in a minute. And trust also in Him, verse 5, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. And here's a big one. If I could give you some experience tonight, you know, we worry about things and we're anxious about things. A lot of times it don't even happen. Can I get a witness right there? Are you breathing? Or if it is going to happen, you can't do anything about it anyway. But most of the time it don't come to pass. The devil just wants us to fear instead of having faith. And we don't rest. And so if you don't get anything else out of the message tonight, I mean, when you're focused on the Lord and rejoicing in Him, you can rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him and fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way, because of the man that bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now let's go back to Philippians 4. Rejoice, verse 4, in the Lord always. Always. So that's continually, right? All the time. Do we do that? All the time. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So in the context of Him coming back, verse 6, be careful. The word means anxious. Be careful for what? I want you to think about that. Nothing. But, which ties it back to that thought, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So if you want to rest, you have this peace, then you really have to be a man or woman or boy or girl, teenager of prayer. Are you? Are you constantly praying? Or are you anxious? There's the recommended to us right here, the recommendation to all of us, constant prayer is what the Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And if we do that and thank Him and ask Him, let your request, verse 6, be made known unto you, then we'll have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what are you talking about? Well, you're on your bed, you're getting ready to go to sleep. Do you go off to sleep praying? When you wake up in the morning, do you hit your knees praying? Before you even get out of bed. Don't hurt just to thank Him right there. Before you get out of bed, when you're going to bed. My wife always, I go to bed before her because I'm early, early bird, okay? She always gives me a kiss. Thank you, honey. But what about telling the Lord how much we love Him before we fall off to sleep? I mean, if you're really tired, if you work and you're not lazy, I mean, it don't take long to go to sleep. But before you do, say, Lord, I sure love you. Thank you. And Lord, I'm not going to take any of these burdens or these cares or anything with me to bed. I'm just going to commit them to you. And here it is. Here it is. I'm trying to help you now. I'm resting in you, Lord. My focus is on you. And I can't do anything about some of these things. So constant prayer. In emergencies, send up emergency prayers. I was in the back seat with Pastor Hodges. We were going to a meeting or something. And pastor in Florida where we went to church. And he had a severe lead foot. I mean, goodness. He got it honest. Got it from his daddy, but I mean, he just loved racing. He loved it. Don't matter. Hear me. Going around curves 90 miles an hour. And I was in the back seat. We were just fellowshipping. And he got to talking about a pastor's illustration. You know how this man was beating his dog or beating his kid. I don't know what he was doing. He was beating. And he turned around. I'm in the back seat. He just floated off in the median about 100 miles an hour. What was I doing? Sending up emergency prayers. That's what I was doing. Lord, help. I mean, there's no time to think. Yeah, he scared me. His wife would get on him too. They always tried to get the car with most safety features. And I mean, he had all these radar things. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Thousands of dollars and tickets and everything. I didn't matter. He liked to race. Watch this, Brother Greg. Watch this. He'd go in between. He just had that. He still lives? He's still? I don't know. He's older than me. So he may have slowed down a little bit. I don't know. He loved racing cars. Emergency prayers. Burdens. How about a burden? Do you have a burden tonight? Here's one. Day-to-day affairs. The affairs of life. Maybe you're seeking direction. But don't forget what he says. Look in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And what? And what? And the peace of God. Hardest thing I ever had to do, live up to my own preaching. Got to practice what you preach, right? And so it's for all of us tonight. Don't forget that the Lord is our joy and our strength. So be thankful. Be grateful. Acknowledge that He's the one. Paul Chappell, he pastors in Lancaster, California. Some of you have heard about him, right? Raise your hand if you heard about him. Big church over there. Huge church. Independent Baptist. But what he would do, this is what I've been told he would do. When he was getting ready to hire a staff person, he'd fly the family in, husband, wife, children. First thing he would do, pick them up, take them to dinner. That's what he would do. I guess they're checking, the security's out here checking or whatever. But he'd take the family to dinner. And they'd have a nice dinner together and, you know, talk and get to know one another a little bit. And he told the preachers this, if they paid the bill and they got up from the table and that couple never thanked him, he'd send them back on the airplane back home. David, you passed the test. But I didn't think about that, putting him to the test. But he thanked me for the meal. But you know, we often don't thank God as we should, right? We don't thank Him like we should. And He's the one that gives us our very breath. I couldn't be standing up here without God. You couldn't be doing what you're doing. Hey, if He gives you a job, He's the one that gave it to you. He's the one that gives you the health, amen, to work a job and to live and move and have our being. So we need to thank Him. Be grateful and acknowledge. Have that on our heart. Let's look at this verse again. Verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Well, there's peace when we come into the presence of the Lord. The peace of God passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And when you think of Jesus, the attributes of Jesus, the character of Jesus, all of these are found in this next verse. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. When we started the church and we were in the school, we had a man came down with cancer of the esophagus. It's very, a lot of people have esophagus cancer, esophageal cancer. But this was many years ago, and they were just I guess, starting out with a surgical procedure where they would take your esophagus out and they'd take your stomach and they would attach it up here underneath your skin, right up here. And so your food would go right here, right into your stomach. And they've got a lot better with that nowadays, but this was way back. And this man had that surgery. They told him of the risk and all of that, and he suffered so very bad. Oh, it was horrible what he went through. He ended up dying about a month later. Pastor Bobby Robertson, Gospel Light Baptist Church in Walkertown, North Carolina, had it, and he lived for years and kept on pastoring. He'd make fun of it and joke, but he said, "I'm a freak now. I have to be on a vegetarian diet and all of that, you know." But he just had power of God and just went on, pastoring well up into his 80s. But God used him greatly. But this man, he suffered. He was in the hospital, and he wanted help. He wanted his pastor. He wanted prayer. He said, "I just don't know what to do. I never will forget." And I didn't know how to help him. I'd pray for him and comfort him. But God told me to give this passage right here to him. Right here, verse 8. He was laying in the hospital, suffering, dying of esophageal cancer. And you know what that man told me? He thanked me. He said, "Pastor, everybody has tried to help me. They've given me these words of comfort. They've gave me this. They've gave me that. This scripture right here that you gave me is the only thing that helped me through." He would just constantly think on those things that are lovely, things that are pure. He'd think on Jesus. Friends, now that's something to think about right there, that testimony of that man. If you're going through something, I mean, man can't help you. Only Jesus. Can get you through some of those things, right? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It kind of came up. I was going to be talking about this when I read yesterday's proverb, the fourth, if you'll go back to Proverbs 4. He talks about wisdom. Brother Kingsmore, in our prayer time on Sunday morning a few weeks ago, talked about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. In the book of Proverbs, yes, Solomon talking primarily to younger men here. But I tell you, every word of God is pure, and all these Proverbs are good for every single one of us here tonight, church. Every single one of us, and you ought to read one every day, I believe. And in Proverbs chapter 4, let me just read here a little bit. Verse 1, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Get wisdom. Get wisdom. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the what, church? Thing. And really, Jesus is a personification of wisdom. When you're talking about wisdom here in these Proverbs, you see Jesus. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get what? Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Wisdom is this knowledge that comes by constant effort. Knowledge is this where you stick with something. You stick with it. You stay with it. It also carries with it the idea of prudence. So wisdom, you can have it, right, church? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. Maybe you need to come and ask for wisdom tonight. It's the principal thing. And we need to exalt her. Talking about wisdom. Who is her? Wisdom. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. And we get wisdom by His word. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. What is prudence? Prudence is caution. We need to have prudence. We need to look on every side, northeast, south, and west, and ask God for His wisdom. And then, verse 21, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of what? What's the midst? In the middle. What is your heart? It's the seat of your will, emotions, and intellect. It's who you are in your heart. And your mind's connected. Are you breathing? As a man thinketh in his what? Heart, so is he. The Bible says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we need help with this old heart and our mind. And everything out there on social media and the television and all of that's not really helping with your heart, helping with your mind. May the Lord help us. But look what He says. Verse 22 and 23. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy what? With all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. So how do you keep thy heart? You can preach a message right on this one verse right here. How do you keep your heart? Well, you need to keep it. You need to guard it. But the word I circled, thy heart, you don't need to worry about everybody else's heart. Worry about your own heart. Juliana was playing, how's your heart? The other night on the piano. Is it right with God? How about your heart? And so thy heart, keep thy heart with all diligence. Constant effort. Stay with it. Keep your heart right. For out of it are the issues of life. What flows out of your heart. What flows out, the issues of life. Keep thy heart. You know why a lot of folks get in trouble? It's heart trouble. It's heart trouble. Back over in Philippians, please. Ephesians, Philippians, and we'll finish. With the Lord's help, and we'll have prayer. Chapter 4. Be careful, verse 6. Well, we'll go back to rejoice in the Lord always, verse 4. And again, I say rejoice, and that's constant because He says in verse 1 of chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So constant rejoicing in the Lord, the object of our rejoicing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, verse 6, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God in the peace of God. That's rest, the peace of God. Is what that is talking about. This quietness and rest. Can I ask you that question? Questions are convicting. Do you have quietness in your heart and rest in your heart? Do you have that peace tonight? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your what? And minds through Christ Jesus. So that's the message tonight. In whatever affairs of life, emergencies, burdens, whatever you're going through tonight, I don't know. I wanted just to comfort you. That was my heart's desire. If we're going to do that, we got to guard these old hearts. And we need to rejoice in Him. Rejoice in Him. Let's stand together.